You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Oh my God.
This is Hungover, a new mini-series where we follow some of our favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage.
We're going to be checking in with these artists before rehearsal, during rehearsal, seeing the process, and then afterwards during performances.
So you'll get a unique perspective on their journeys to getting back to normal.
So grab your hair of the dog, because this is Hungover.
Cheers!
Work!
This just needs to be a weekly thing now.
I know. It's sad. I was just thinking, like, this is sad that this is, like, the last episode in the trilogy, because I'm like, okay, well, now Tim and I and Caleb are just going to have to, like, get drinks.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. Yeah. You guys will just have to pretend to know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, no, those conversations will not be for air.
Confidential.
Welcome to this week's episode of Hungover, an Equity One miniseries where we chat with some of your...
You're nailing it. Keep going.
Favorite theater artists about their journey back to the stage. That's not it, but close enough.
Yes.
I've already had a glass of wine. I'm going to be transparent.
And that's Elliot, and I'm Caleb.
And we are here with our very good friend, Tim Hughes.
Welcome back. Myself. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
One of the, I would say, probably our most interviewed guest.
Yeah.
Like, I think you've done more episodes of Equity One than literally anyone.
I need to check my badges, but I think you're right.
I think this would give you a badge every time you come.
This would be four. I would say that maybe, you know who he is actually tied with.
Who? Please tell.
One J. Armstrong Johnson.
Okay.
Who has done.
Well done, sir.
One.
Halloween. His own.
Highlights. And then.
Head nod.
His own. Did he do that? No, he wasn't in the thing.
We'll call it a tie. We'll just call it a tie.
I think I would love it if you guys would brawl. Like, can we get you both here on an episode?
That.
Yeah, like.
Just like a live arm wrestle?
Or just for us.
Yeah.
That might be into the confidential night.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
One. Not
no
recorded.
Phones.
That'll be a girls' night. Yeah. No, I think you do. I think you are the winner with four episodes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm honored.
Wow. I know, that's quite an honor. And we have something for you. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have anything for you.
We actually do have a shot glass. Can we give you an Equity One shot glass?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, yeah, cool.
We'll get you that by the end of the episode. Please.
We need to give her that.
And if you want one, just Instagram us and I will send it to you. Just pay for postage. We have so many. So Caleb and I bought shot glasses. This is off the rails already. Caleb and I bought shot glasses for Broadway Con and we bought like 200 and sold two.
So we've been, Cole is all like, Caleb, what are these shot glasses? I'm like, it's like a shared baby. Elliot has the same number as I do. We just hold it. We keep it in stock. We'll get rid of it at some point.
Yeah, there'll be other opportunities, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I think my fourth episode is really going to take off.
I think so, too. I think it's already shaping up to be our best yet. Tim, thank you for joining us today. You are a working diva, so Caleb and I are imbibing, and we are having the Red Lip Zin.
Love, yes, from Intermission Cellars.
Yes, and it's delicious. And here to tell you a little bit more about it are Kristen and David.
Confidence, glamour, depth, texture, rebellion. Wait, are we talking about red lipstick or Zinfandel? Both. Red Lip Zin embodies these characteristics, and if you're lucky, might even stain your lips the same way. I like to say, a red lip instantly elevates your performance, whether gracing the stage or out on the town. Similarly, this luscious wine makes a statement that will make everyone listen. Zin is a showstopper filled with bold, dark berry flavors with a 5% kiss of cab to add a peppery, chocolate finish. Enjoy Red Lip Zin and wear your red-stained lips proudly. Remember, everyone will be looking at your mouth, so you better have something to say.
Kristen dedicates this performance to all the bold, strong, and beautifully talented women with whom she's shared the dressing room with. This blend is 95% Zinfandel and 5% Cabernet Sauvignon.
To order Red Lip Zin or any of the other Intermission Cellars wine, go to www.intermissioncellars.com.
Cellars with a C. And you can find us on Instagram at Intermission Cellars.
Oh, it's so good. I love this wine, especially for fall.
We were talking earlier, this is a heavy pour. It's like heavy in my hand, but light when it goes in me, and it's like...
Are all the wines from like the Sonoma region for this?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay.
They are.
I know. I'm on the email list, but I need to get a subscription.
Oh my God. Yes, and if you want to hear them wax poetic, we had them on to talk about the wines.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Oh, amazing.
God. Wait, is there a wine club that they have? A monthly wine club?
You can get all the information you need about that at intermissioncellars.com. I am not a representative, especially one glass of wine.
Exactly. We love their wine. That's all I can tell you.
It's delicious to drink. Tim.
Yes.
It has been a while since we've seen you.
Right. Right before opening, right?
Right before
opening. We were dancing in the street for your opening.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I love that song.
And that picture of you.
Right.
Just going viral. Absolutely
all
viral.
Over the web. Yeah. Thankfully, like, the best photographers ever came to the reopening of Hadestown. So I got some great shots, like, from Curtain Call. And then we did that little sing-along on the street after. Mm-hmm. And I was like living my best life and not posing for a photo, but it was captured.
But you saw a photographer and you said, oh, I should probably.
I should probably put this flower in my hair.
Yeah.
No, actually, that came from when I did like a Hadestown takeover on Instagram. And I pretended the whole day that I was like creating a fashion statement by putting a carnation in my hair.
A pioneer.
And it kind of worked.
Yeah.
For myself.
Yeah.
There's been like some fan art that like has all the workers, and there's one that has like a carnation in his hair.
So I'm
owning it, but I kind of like subconsciously did it that night just up on the balcony. I put it in my hair, and then it was captured.
Oh my God. Come on. The fans work quick.
Yes. They really do. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We have some wonderful fans at Hadestown.
Yeah. I remember during Beetlejuice, like they were doing fan art of like moments from like Leslie's blog. Like,
oh wow,
it like
specific,
yeah, so funny.
Wow.
But yeah, that's, well, tell us. I mean, you just, when we last talked to you, you were just about to start performances. You're now a month and a half plus in.
Yeah, almost two.
Yeah, how's September it feeling?
2nd. It's been a wild, incredible ride. Like when we first reopened, it was electric. Mm-hmm. It was like better than a traditional opening night. Like the reopening had this new sense of overcoming
and
surviving. And it's been a lot of audience members, especially for those first couple of weeks, their first show back. So it is, electric in a new way in the room. And there was a sense of just like the utmost appreciation that this is even happening, which was super special. And it lasted for a long time. There's actually, it comes in waves still. Like there'll be a performance and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of people who are, it feels
here
like
the
they're
first
just
time.
Back
yeah.
for the first time. It's been 2 months, people. Where have you been? there's a lot of shows to go support.
Hello. Yeah.
But still, it's happening. And then there are now days that we're like getting back into like the swing of things. Uh-huh. Because the process was so quick in getting it back on its feet, like all the adjusting to the turntables, like all the physical adjustments of like eight shows a week, hit very hard in the middle of like the run. Like, September instead of like maybe during tech.
Right.
When you're like, oh gosh, I'm learning to adjust to all of this. Oh my God, my hips were...
Your hips are tight.
It's the turntable.
Yeah.
My hips, clenching. My lower back. Yeah. Yeah, you have to stay on.
Yeah.
You're singing and you're like projecting. Like, yeah.
It's a lot. And that combined with this like new sense of the importance of a balance in my personal life has me questioning how I did 8 shows a week for so long.
Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. I'm like, how did I do this?
Yeah.
And I think it speaks to what has always been expected of us as Broadway actors, as actors, is to just give absolutely everything we have
mm-hmm. every
and commit
single time,
to this show every single time. And now I'm still trying to maintain a business. I'm still trying to like maintain like the bi-weekly Zoom meetings with my family. Mm-hmm. And like that rarely happens because I'll have a Sunday afternoon show and then I'll teach class on Sunday night and then I'll come back and they'll be like already in the thick of it. And it's interesting because it's, they're just like adjusting back to the idea of like, oh, well, he just can't come because this is what he does.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is the most difficult pill to swallow in coming back. I feel like that is sitting in the back of my brain, more than I thought it would. I still absolutely love the show. I love being a part of this company. I like when the show begins every night, it's wonderful. But as a result of that, like kind of haunting the back of my mind, all the other like politics and the sense of like kind of undervaluing certain members of this company are just highlighted in a new way.
Yeah.
So it's something that I'm just like grappling with at this point, that was new and unexpected in this like return to an 8-show-a-week.
Well, it's hard. Schedule. It's like we have experienced an 18-month trauma.
Yeah.
And it's not going to just jump right back after 2 months. Like, we are going to be, like, adjusting to this lifestyle for a couple months, I think.
Right.
Years, if that. I don't know. Like...
And I think in the adjusting back out of it, I honestly thought that there would be... more of a change, like more mm-hmm. of like an actual change, not just in the industry of how we treat every human, but like, I mean, how we are approaching diversity and inclusion and systemic racism within the structures of our, you know, of our companies, the structures of capitalism. And some of that is being addressed, but nothing is really, I mean, I hate to be so honest about it, but nothing is really changing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I think that like, that is kind of a reality that we're going to be facing for a while. I think that like the idea and the hope was that hopefully with all of the, you know, calling for change and the, you know, listening to people to tell us how the, you know, industry can be safer for everyone and safe in all kinds of respects,
mm-hmm.
safer with for your health with COVID, but also safe for every single person who works on Broadway. I think that the reality of that is that those changes are going to take a really long time to actually happen.
Take mm-hmm. effect, yeah.
Because it's an entire industry and system that has to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just going to happen by, you know, by
a flick of a switch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're not just going to be able to turn it off.
And
yeah.
you have to want to like actually implement it and not just appear to be implementing it either.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be the new shows that have that weight on their shoulder to really like make the change because they have the opportunity to create new material.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to be like, well, this is our show. These are the lyrics. These are the songs. We can change like a lyric here or two and maybe a scene. But, like, we're still kind of tell the same hetero story, probably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just...
But within those structures, like Slave Play is coming back, and I've heard that those cast members will have both a royalty from the show and profit participation. So royalty for the show being licensed in the future for their contribution to the script.
Uh-huh.
And then when the show, if the show recoups and makes money, then they make more money.
Yeah.
Which that should be a
standard.
Basic
yeah.
standard.
Yeah.
And I know that we'd been fighting for that with the lab agreements mm-hmm. In equity, but people are always baffled to hear like, okay, so Hadestown recouped in some crazy fast amount of time.
So
like
quick.
6 months or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for the actors, that doesn't change anything. That just means the producers and everybody else continues to make more money than they expected because they're the small sliver of this pie of musical theater that actually recouped.
Yeah.
But we're still, it's on the backs
yeah.
of literally the actors' blood, sweat, and tears.
And they're trying to pay you less for a less show week, yes? Like if you do like 7 shows versus 8?
They can.
Yeah, they can.
They can now. We've been doing 8. There was no transition. It was okay. 8 right away.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, they're allowed to at this point. And for any of an ensemble member, if you go from year one and if you want more like flexibility in your contract for year two, you can do a 4-week out. But that means all the like incremental raises that you've earned in that first year of dedicating your life to that show go away. So like literally they take away your pay for any kind of flexibility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All of those things are like things that can be adjusting now
right.
if there was actually any shift in how we're approaching this industry and these humans again. Right? But it's just not being seen with any new lens in a very surprising way.
That is surprising. And it's unfortunate that, like, you know, when you talk about the example of slave play, that's not a surprise to me that Jeremy O'Harris is, you know, on the front of that, you
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
You know, really is making sure that what they're doing is making good change in the industry.
Setting a standard.
Yeah.
Well, especially
yeah,
when we talk about, like, you know, wealth in this country and how
yeah.
important it is for, you know, people of color, especially to have wealth.
Right.
Like that is one of the big parts of our, you know, structures in this country that has kept people oppressed for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But again, unfortunately, we're relying on the same people every time to make change, and while everyone else stands to the side and doesn't do anything different.
Right. Right. And I agree with you. I think it's not surprising that it's coming from the playwright of Slave Play.
Right.
You know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And knowing what that show is about, which is also why it's even more frustrating coming from the producers of Hadestown, because it's like literally as a worker in Hadestown to build and make money for Hades in
uh-huh.
the story that I'm telling, which is paralleled to, you know, what's happening mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah.
Yes, I get paid a salary and
yeah,
yes,
of course.
I understand that, but we all take that risk in coming together to create this show. And when that product actually makes a profit and turns a profit, everybody should share.
Everyone
in that,
should profit
in that
from
well.
It, yeah.
yeah. Did we not learn that from the show?
Like,
that's
yeah.
what's, it would be less frustrating to me if I was going back into Phantom of the Opera and, you know, and
sure.
I'd be like, oh, I understand that this is a machine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Even though I wouldn't necessarily do that because of that same idea,
like,
that
yeah.
it has become a machine.
You're saying you're making art and you're giving back, but like you're in it for the dollar.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a tough
capitalism.
Yeah. Thing to uproot.
Yeah.
Well, and that's also like, you know, in offline conversations, it's like, you know, there's so much call for change, especially on Broadway, because it's the most visible kind of theater community, but I think sometimes it's lost that it literally is peak capitalism. I mean,
yeah,
it's called
yeah.
commercial theater. Like,
mm-hmm.
so there's going to be resistance.
But it's hard when you are one of the most artistic shows on Broadway right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
You
sure.
are a jukebox musical. Like, you are, like, presenting...
Well, I mean, technically, it was a concept album.
Right.
Well, if we want to... Okay,
I
sure.
know.
Right.
I'm just nerding out. I'm not okay, trying to like. Okay. Get
I don't know if that concept album was played on any jukeboxes.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Maybe some record players.
Yeah,
exactly.
Some vinyl.
Lots of acoustic guitars.
Do you want to talk more about kind of like that finding that balance, like with personal life and staying healthy for the show? Because we've talked with some people about how, like, you know, now there's kind of this mental game to play of like, okay, what does my social life look like when I also have to think about protecting
the company
I'm working with, you know, making sure I stay healthy, and balancing that with doing the show. Cause it's so hard to, before it was hard to have a social life when you were doing a Broadway show. Now there's like added elements to that challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, it's a difficult thing. I don't know if, I just have fallen into like a habit of being a little less social as a result of 18 months. And therefore it's like, I don't put myself in a ton of group settings of like, you know, of like a COVID spreader.
Sure.
Event.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I certainly have, you know, I certainly have gone into a restaurant still and taken off my mask and eaten.
Right.
Which according to like all of the government restrictions and everything that's currently out,
it should
be fine. Yeah. But there is an added layer of like, okay, we've signed this contract to be responsible and we have to protect, do our part in protecting everybody in that building. And I think because we are allowed to do those things now and because it feels like there's more of a comfort level in doing it, but I still have my hesitations about it. You know, it's, for example, like the gym, like you have to have been vaccinated at the gym. Masks are optional. There are a lot of Broadway people who go to the gym that I go to and it's a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. Ironically, our company has been really safe and we haven't had any positive cases. Mm-hmm. But the companies that have, like a lot of those members, when they show up back at the gym, I'm like, oh, you're wearing a mask until this comfort level returns.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, like a week later, like there's that guy's face again. Like, like now that everybody's in the clear.
Yeah.
So I think that like taking those small precautions when you feel like it's necessary are part of my routine, but otherwise I like am trying to get back to a sense of normalcy as all the restrictions get back to a sense of normalcy, especially in New York City.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What has it been like balancing your company with being back open?
Yeah. So I do, with Performance Puzzle, I still teach I'm live on Sunday night. So I'll do 8 shows and then I have like 20 minutes and then I run over to usually Open Jar Studios and teach live.
Next door.
Yeah. It works out great. And sometimes it's exhausting. It's always exhausting. I mean, 8 shows a week is already exhausting. But I've found it to be great to like break away from that routine of doing the same choreography 8 shows a week and then break into something totally different in order to end the week and allow my body to move totally differently. Finding the time to like choreograph every week and do the design and do all the, like the communication for the company is much harder when there's all these moving parts at Hadestown and I've been called a lot into rehearsal and I like, if I don't have an afternoon, if I don't have a full day before a show in the week to do it, it's very, very difficult. So, and I don't like to do it on my day off because my day off now becomes grocery shopping,
laundry,
cleaning, like all of my, like any dentist appointment, any doctor's appointment.
It has to be like shoved into that day.
Yeah, your whole checklist for like your weekly things all go to one day then.
Yeah.
And it becomes a full day. So to do, and that's like your personal life job, and then to actually have another job on top of that, it just, it takes some creative thinking into figuring out how I can do all the work that I needed to do before each Sunday.
Yeah.
Luckily, like this week, I have an afternoon off. I'm like, okay, great, I can do it then. And that is what I think should be the norm. Like, I don't. If I need to go back and like fight producers on it, if it's going to be too hard to maintain a balance, then that's something I need to decide. But mm-hmm. it certainly hasn't been easy. I'm really grateful that I have maintained Performance Puzzle because it's been like overwhelmingly thrilling and still exciting. And people who come to see the show can now come and dance with me mm-hmm. On a Sunday night. And that's really fun and an easy connection to make now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love that aspect of it. I wish I could be spending more time devoting and expanding the curriculum of what I'm doing in there. I haven't been able to yet.
Also, right. You're like 2 months in. Don't be like so hard on yourself. Yeah. Like you're figuring it out. And like, that's amazing just that you're still doing both things.
Yeah, thanks. Trying.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, I think that you're bringing up something that, you know, we know the reality of, but like, I don't know that the listener necessarily knows. It's like, once you open a Broadway show, if you are like a cover or a swing, like you are in rehearsal all the time. Mm-hmm. Like it's not so much like, oh, you rehearse for weeks and then we open and now we don't rehearse anymore and we're like have the whole day free. Like your days are full. Mm-hmm. So do you want to like talk about kind of like what that looks like a week looks like for you? And especially if it's different now with COVID protocols, et cetera.
As of late, my week has been Tuesday night show, two shows Wednesday, Thursday rehearsal all afternoon show, Thursday night, Friday rehearsal all afternoon, Friday night show, two Saturday, Sunday afternoon show, Sunday night class, Monday day off. And I think it's been like 4 weeks back to back of both Thursday and Friday. Sometimes I get that Thursday or Friday off, like, and that's a cherished moment. Uh-huh. And it's something I really need. And I think we all need that. We all need like another daytime opportunity to not be in that theater. But we've had a lot of turnover already because people came back to finish out the year contracts. There's only like 4 weeks left. They wanted to invite everybody back. And our Persephone is going down to six shows a week, and then she's also filming a movie, so we had to put an alternate in, and then we also had to get another understudy ready, and so it's just been nonstop. So hopefully that will calm down.
Mm-hmm. It will.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard right when you're shot out of the cannon to also have that extra like responsibility.
I'm rehearsing at a like more hours now than when I was originally learning the understudy role for Hades.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Well, because also, you know, with a lot of Persephone happening, there's a lot of you happening.
Yeah. And then the other cover for Hades is the dance captain, so like he has to be there for an additional
everything else. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that really is something that like people don't realize like how much rehearsal continues mm-hmm. after the process. And I'm sure I would imagine for myself at least would have been kind of like a oh my god, this is part of
yep.
I only remembered doing the show.
Right.
Not like...
I thought that, like, you know, usually after the first year, once you get a new show open, you go through all the awards seasons, you do a lot of, like, TV like, events.
We're in it. Like, yeah. It's finished.
Yeah. People have most of the time gone on for the roles. Like, it should be, like, smooth sailing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't anticipate, like, the rocky waters of getting the show back up with all these moving parts. That's a new aspect to the reopening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, once everything's taught and learned, understudy rehearsal is maybe like a run through every other week or something.
Right.
Like
I hope. That's the goal.
No, goal.
Goal. So how's the audience response been? Good.
Amazing. Like, yeah. So many people returning to see it, which is always a great, great sign. So many people getting the opportunity to see it for the first time. a lot of stories of, I was planning on seeing it this time.
Yeah.
And now I finally have gotten the opportunity to return and see it for my first time. And for the most part, that additional excitement of returning to the theater has maintained a very high level of enthusiasm. There's always a Sunday matinee or a Wednesday matinee where
it's a little chiller.
Yeah, chiller. Yeah. But then I was like, oh, did we lose all the freshness of a new beginning? And then it returns again.
Yeah.
We had John Krause go on for the first time as Orpheus last night, which was amazing because the whole show shut down the night he was supposed to go on for the first time.
Ugh.
But as a result, a ton of his family came in again after, missing out on that opportunity in 2020. And last night felt like another opening night.
That's fun. So
cool. It was like brand new. We had a lot of different people in the mix in the rest of the cast.
Uh-huh.
It just was a really, really exciting night. And the audience was wonderful. On a Tuesday, amazing. Which is great.
That's so exciting.
Praise for showback.
Yeah.
We love that.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Caleb's quick cues.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Ooh, Caleb's quick cues.
Caleb's quick cues. Here we go. Okay. Sad, this is our last time.
Oh my god.
You'll have to come up with questions every time we hang out.
Exactly, I know. Three things you need at your station in your dressing room.
Floss, crystallized ginger, and cashews.
I love all three of
those. Cashews.
Do you floss your teeth in front of everyone? Do you do it in front of your mirror? Where do you do it so it doesn't
I have shelves, so I'm not constantly looking at myself in the mirror. But usually I floss at my station. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But because it's the worst thing on earth to go on stage when I feel like I have things in my
teeth. Yeah.
Especially, it usually goes ginger and cashews, then the floss. In order
of course.
To get, yeah. Because especially a little cashew in the throat, it's mm-hmm. takes you out. From,
yeah.
But you don't use cinnamon, right, for your floss? Or what
flavored floss? No, yeah. No.
Mint floss. I'm in a floss renaissance.
Oh.
Flossing regularly now.
My dad always says,
good for you.
Only floss the teeth you want to keep.
Oh, wow.
Wise.
Favorite seat in the theater when you're watching a show?
I love an aisle seat for the leg room.
Yes.
We have long legs. Yes. Famously tall.
Yes. So probably I would say center orchestra, but on the aisle.
Of course.
And I lean to the left. I don't know why. I feel I don't know.
Love it. Your first time stage dooring experience.
Oh gosh, I have a lot of different stage door experiences. The first big, most exciting one was with Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't anticipate is most people didn't recognize who I was, coming out of wig. And a lot of people, actually the security guy who still is over at Hadestown as well, was over at Frozen. And he always calls me Hans because a lot of people thought that I was Hans coming to the stage door. But, that stage door was super exciting anyway. All of the excitement around Frozen and the families and the young audience members and girls and kids in the Elsa dresses. I had secretly started an Instagram account that was called Frozen Meltdowns because I wanted to try to capture... It never did it. because I never was like there for. I was getting there too early because I had to get this tattoo on my back, so I missed all of, like, the people coming into the theater. But there was always a lot of like kid like meltdowns. Yes, and I wanted to capture. So and like have the account of like all of these kids going to their first
everyone go
show.
Follow Frozen Meltdown.
It didn't take off. I didn't ever post anything.
But you have all the footage on your phone, right?
I have a great idea. Okay, yeah. I didn't execute it well.
Full of great ideas. So fall fashion. We're getting to like the peak of fall.
Layers.
Okay. Are you more boots, scarves, or hats? What's your accessory?
Boots. And scarves. All of the three.
Layers. We love it.
Yes.
What's something small you didn't realize you missed until you got back into performances? The tiny things about being back in the theater.
Those like little moments that you find that are with people on stage in your company that are unspoken and then become like part of the show. Like finding those and then seeing which ones like survive and last. Like, oh, she looks at me at this moment.
Yeah.
And finding like when it clicks and then when you like rely on it, it's just like an unspoken, beautiful language.
You're like, you didn't look at me. Like,
yeah. You missed our moment that we only did for 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
I thought it meant more to me than. But I love rekindling some of them and like letting some of them fall to the wayside and then finding new ones.
Amazing.
Yes.
Tim. It's such a pleasure, always, to have you on the podcast. We're sad this is our last in the series, but I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of you.
I'm back.
Where can people find you on social media if they want to follow you?
On Instagram, I'm Timothy R. Hughes. You can check out my business at Performers Puzzle, and I'm Timothy Hughes and Performers Puzzle on Facebook.
Amazing. You can find the show at Equity One Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and at Equity One _ on Twitter.
Send us an email at equityonepodcast@gmail.com and head over to the iTunes Apple app for podcasts and give us a 5-star rating review. It really helps other people find us and raise us up. Elliot, where can we find you?
You can find me at Elliot Maddox on everything. Caleb.
Caleb Dickey on everything.
And until next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hangover cured.
You can find us at the bar.
Oh.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.